me. How did you farm? Tell me how you farmed because it was so hot. You always told me about it was so hot. Tell me, first truth.
We had a cultivated summer farm, and you couldn't use a single disc on it. You had to use something with shovels to cultivate the land on account of sandstorm. And then I used a little corn cultivator that's still standing at home.
Yeah.
But the pool is broken, the snow broke the pool. And I went out in the morning at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I worked till about 8. And then the horses were so wet that they dried. That much this wet. And then I unhitched them. Took a rest the whole day. And the horses, I turned them out. We had a shed beside the barn. I had a door on the other end, and that was the coolest place for the horses. And the cattle would go up in the spring. And I stayed in the house.
I
washed up for cold water in the room for breathing. That's all I know about.
I suppose it was it as hot as it was about 3 years ago in North Dakota?
See, and then they start us paying substitutes for delayed payments. We sold down 32 wheat for 22 cents a bushel. And then President Roosevelt said we were underpaid, and then he paid us some extra money, and that always was enough, and sometimes a little over, but I had to pay for the rent. See, the bushels were none. Didn't get no bushels. And the rent you had to live. And the cows we still milked. I tracked some cattle once down to Fargo. And then I bought 22 sacks, I'd say. It was 100 pounds in a sack. Feed for the cows and calves. But I think I had $80 worth of cattle, and I bought feed, $60 worth.
You didn't have much left then. Where the pastures then were all dried up, and you didn't have many cattle at that time, I imagine, in the 30s when it was kind of tough.
No, we had cattle all the time.
Did you milk a lot of cows then?
You had to sell and keep only a small flock. And a man came around and inspected whether you keep your promise that you will not keep more cattle than that.
Oh.
I guess we were supposed to keep 15 cattle altogether.
15 cows?
Cattle altogether. And he went over and the cattle were close by the barn there. And he went among them, count them.
Is that including the calves?
A government man. Well, the small calves, they all got shot and buried.
Well, the calves got shot and buried.
Yeah, but they were no good for food. They got long hair and skinny. And most of them had diarrhea. And they didn't look good at all. And so.
And so he shot the calves?
He shot four for us.
And then how did they bury him? Did just with a shovel and stuff, or how did they bury him?
Well, I had to bury him.
Well, you had to bury him. Did they pay you for it?
No. That was not included.
I see. What are some of the hardest things you had to do during the Depression?
They were all hard.
But
there's nothing that I could say that at our favor or something. Yep, it's all the same.
What about the people in town? Did they have it as hard as you people on the farm?
They got the Himmelwager, they call it. There's every 2 weeks a truck came to town and bought bread, butter, and oranges and grapefruit and anything you needed. And the bigger the family, the more you got. They had it made, those big families, poor ones.
In town?
Yes, they got everything. And all people, they got all the food they need.
So it was almost like welfare then, those people got...
See, the government run everything. It's Roosevelt that done. And they said, the government is going broke, it's going broke. Well, he went and bought the surplus oranges, very cheap, and the surplus bread and flour and meat and butter. Meat, I don't think they got sausage. Meat wouldn't keep, see? And they said they got so many oranges, and the kids went out and played ball with them. There were the Gums, Marvin Gums, and said, Dad, these aren't long, the wager cut. Something like you got for your kids, but now it's hanging up on the wall. Yeah. They had just loaded with stuff, butter, cheese, bread, oranges, grapefruit. There was some. And you had to ask for them. And my dad wouldn't ask for them. He was too proud. He didn't get nothing. And there was old Isler. He was a rich guy. He even got 20 sacks of flour. And he was a rich guy. He always had a lot of stuff. And that old Jake Schumacher, he didn't know what a grapefruit is. And then there was Hans Grill. This was our minister's son. He was teaching school there and staying with old Schumacher during the week. And then he started eating those grapefruit. And the Schumachers, they throw it out and give it to him to eat. When they found out there was something to eat, then he wouldn't give that Hans Grill any more than they eat. That's what Hans Grill said. After they taught him how to eat them, and he wouldn't get any more. Hmm. See, there's big trucks coming. He looks after Himmelswagen. And he brought everything. Butter, bread, biscuits, potatoes. By the 100 ticket potatoes. They unloaded once at Silverman's store when that was closed. The Wins had it closed.
What Wins?
Fred Wins. He went broke. He bought it from the Chews.
See, that's one of the calendars I found upstairs. That's why I asked.
Fred Wins?
Yeah. You have a calendar up in the attic that I brought down here of Fred Wins.
Well, he bought a store and his son made him broke. There's gone out of all the storehouse store in the night. He stole all the canned fruit and bread and everything.
What's for his Sainama?
That big cake.
Oh.
And they unloaded a whole carload of potatoes down that basement. And then Paul Wybie was the supervisor to divide them. When one was a big family, he got 200 pounds. Smaller family, 100 pounds. I guess nobody got more than 200 pounds. See, that's where they lived. They couldn't earn anything. Nothing grew. And the government bought that from land, irrigated land, see, those potatoes. And they had the south, big pieces of land, and then they made more irrigation. Then they made dams, big dams, to irrigate. They irrigate even wheat.
Now that was when Roosevelt came in, though, yeah?
Roosevelt, the daughter.
Yeah, they did that.
He was in 4 terms.
No.
And he died from a head stroke. And I tell you, he was fighting so hard and gave speeches on the radio. And the people, they sometimes cheered him for 15 minutes. Wait a minute, he said sometimes. Wait a minute. And he kept on cheering, and then he had to wait. No, he was the greatest president and a heart. I tell you, all the ideas what he brought up, the stuff with his staff, they were wonderful. And then those rich guys, they always were scared. They're going to lose what they got. He didn't touch them. They could go their way and make their money just like before. He was only living for the poor, he says. For the people that hasn't got anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, when World War I started, the people didn't like the Germans, okay? When World War I started.
Well, the United States always fought against the Germans.
Yeah.
But the British were the crooked ones. They came with a British ship. The British had the best navy. And they had a German flag on that British ship. And they shot a great big German freighter down. That was loaded with food for soldiers over there, for France and England. And then they drove right by, wouldn't pick any of the soldiers off. And that was so surprised, then they thought the Germans, they were really bad. And that was the British themselves. If they would have stopped and picked them up, they would have been identified, see? But then they blame it on the Germans. And then the Americans said, if they shoot one more ship down, then they're going to declare war on them. Sure enough, the British went out and shot another ship down, then they declared war on the innocent German people, and they did not do it.
How about even in Streeter, were there examples of the people hating the Germans in the Streeter area? Or?
Yeah, they did, but they weren't supposed to. President Wilson had a big write-up in the German paper. And President Roosevelt. And he says, any German citizen has as much right in here as a British citizen.
That would have been Wilson.
Huh?
That would have been Wilson.
It might be Wilson.
Yeah, World War I, it was Wilson, yeah.
No, I must see, that started in 14.
Yeah, that was Wilson. What about, anything else, even in the Streeter area, where the people were against the Germans?
Yeah, they had raised a few Putmans.
What did they do, or what did they say?
Well, that Putman had a big write-up. He was the Streeter Herald newspaper man. And then all them young Germans, you know, Art Graf, he was a big, strong man. He went on to give him hell. And he said, cancel my paper. They canceled 80 papers in one day. And Putman went broke with his newspaper, see? And then at one of the Putmans, we had a German druggist here. And he said something about the Germans. All the Germans, he says. And that happened. I went down and took him by the hand around and wringed that hand around here and got him down on the ground and he hit him, beat him up. The guy was laying in dirt.
And then, you mean the druggist did that?
Yeah.
To Putman, the newspaper man?
Yes.
They fought and the German beat up the newspaper man.
And he told him, I have just as much right as you. And then there was Charlie Schmidt. He was a German. He has been fighting a lot too. And they just thought because they were Germans, they have to put up us up with that name. And we weren't able to rush fought in our sight, see? They would never see that we are Russians. We were always Russians. And just as soon as the war starts, we were Germans.
Well, what nationality was that newspaper man?
Irish, I guess. The Putmans, they were Irish.
And what was the name of the druggist? You remember?
Well, that was Floyd and Ward and the other one, I don't know, three brothers were.
Oh.
Putmans, yeah. And Ed Rizzo was just as big a devil. And Russ Swigert didn't say anything because he had all the German guys were his hired man. He couldn't say, he could just laugh.
What is Swigert? What national?
He was a big farm. He was Pennsylvania Dutch.
Oh.
If you know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot of fights, but when it came down to law, the one that started the fight would lose. He would lose it by law.
And Putman still was the newspaper man.
That was Warren Putman. And all those Germans, I feel ugly when I pass a German in this town, he says. And then Art Graf, he was a German and he was still saying to the big strong man. He went over here and he says, canceled by newspaper. I don't want to read one line what you put in. I don't want your newspapers anymore. Cancel it. And there's 80 newspapers were canceled in one day and more later. Then he stood. See? Then the Germans.
Hmm. Well, what did you say the name of the druggist was that beat him up?
That was Brown.
Brown?
Brown.
And he beat him up.
He was quick. He just took his arm and wrapped it around his own neck, see, like that. And then he tripped him. And he beat him up, he hit him left and right in the face. And gosh, that it blew the others.
Did you see it, or?
No, but they said it. I think my dad said it. And he, the druggist, even had glasses on, pictures, and they weren't even removed. He had his glasses on and he beat up the glasses.
So that Irishman didn't fit into the too well with the Russian Germans.
He looked out what he said the next time. See, that's the way they stopped him.
Yeah.
And they told him. And I think it was Wilson that had that big name, a big poem in my dad's newspaper. And he says, all the German citizens have just as much right to live in this country as any other citizen, natural born citizen. Well, my dad was not a citizen, but he did his duty. He paid his taxes and he had a bunch of kids, soldiers ready to go in the army. And there was only that there, you know, then he had to be very careful. And he came around and sold Red Cross stuff. He'd have to buy Red Cross stuff whether he wanted or not. And then Ed Rizzo came once in the spring and he was already laying for him. And then he bought $10 worth of Red Cross. And then he talked nice. And I bet that doggone Rizzo was so damn poor he couldn't afford $5. But you would never found out.
Isn't he still around, Ed Reeser?
No, his boys are. At Loy. Madison.
Yeah.
That was his daughter.
Oh.
See, now she's 80. Now you can see how old that is.
See, there was a reacher, there was another guy, I think there was at the reunion, there was a reacher, I thought. Wasn't there one that managed at Oliver Place?
Yeah, that managed, that was Bill.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Lowell, I guess.
Yeah.
And he had one brother, and he died. Two girls and two boys at his house.
What nationality were they, the Reesers?
He was Pennsylvania Dutch.
Like Schweigert. Oh. Well, you didn't, none of your brothers were in the war, was that?
Well, my oldest brother was ready to leave. He was as far as Jamestown when the war quit. See, then there was great big guys, you know, those Swedes, you know. And nobody dared to say anything against the Germans. Why dare tear them apart?
So you probably would have had a lot of fights in that German-Russian community.
Well, the few Yankees here, what was here, they couldn't do nothing because this is a German country.
Yeah.
Out of that, there was just the three Putnams and Ed Reeser and Wes Swigert. And then there was a Wolgert, he was an underdog. And look, all them other farmers, all the doctors, and Schmitz, the whole Schmidt bunch, you know, were all Germans. That they didn't dare to say too much. If they got the right man, he did like old Brown, did, take him down and knock his teeth in.
Oh. One time you said that they were talking, even you heard one time they might even put the Germans in a concentration camp or in a camp. Was there any, where did you ever hear that? Do you recall at all?
They had this in the Second World War. They put Japanese in the concentration camp.
Yeah.
They sent three Japanese from California. They were still sticking up for Japan, see?
Yeah.
Well, they were traitors. They had it in Bismarck at the penitentiary.
Mm-hmm. Were there a lot of people that were against the Germans during World War II in the Streeter area or not?
No, that was gone. There was, that the Germans were are mostly English people, then talk all English. There's the Second World War, I didn't hear much of that. We went back to Russia again, then we were Russians. And the Russians fought two wars on our side. And then when the last war was over, and then the Russians were so poor, they didn't have equipment to work and they didn't care to work. They sent out millions of bushels of grain to Russia.
Well, now, when you talked about you weren't citizens yet, when did you guys become citizens then
when I was 21, I took out my citizen paper. I still got that today.
At home or here? Or?
Yeah.
How about Grandpa Whelan?
He never became a citizen.
He never became a citizen? How come?
He couldn't talk English.
Oh, I'll be darned.
There was old Fred Doctor. He was a rich guy. And he wanted to be a citizen. And the man that questioned him, he couldn't understand one word. And then he said in German, Gaben Sie mir doch, ich lerne nimmer mehr. And then finally they decided and give it to him, citizen paper. But my dad was too proud to do that. He could have got relief like all the others did. He didn't take any.
Huh.
We were out there when My mother got buried, she had an expensive coffin because she was so big. And that was $2,000 funeral. And then Manuel and John went out to the welfare board. And then they said, they only pay so much for a funeral, and they pay total amount. See, and they never paid no $200, then we didn't get nothing. See?
And how much was Grandma's funeral, Grandma Whelan's funeral?
The coffin was $200.
Oh, that's what the funeral was then?
That was big funeral. My dad's was $60.
Nice. But your mom and dad never became citizens. I can't, that's surprising. I never realized.
I tell you, they got everything so down. When Andrew filled his question out, he was 18, then he got a questionnaire to fill out out of the country and out of the war. And they asked him a question of if he'd go to war, fight, and he said no. And he fully didn't understand what he said. And then in South Dakota, Parker, South Dakota, he had an appointment to get his citizen paper out. And when he came in, they had the questionnaire and told him that. And isn't that year you filled out a questionnaire and you said you wouldn't want to go to war. And you were a traitor. He wouldn't give him the paper. And then they had a smart man there that knew Andrew well, that Andrew was not a bad guy. And he went in, talked for him, and says the young man did not understand what he was asked, and he wouldn't know what he was saying. And now he says, now he's got two boys, and they're Ray, natural born citizen. Why should you push his dad, their dad, in the corner? And they didn't even know what he said. Then he got a citizen paper, and he got it. See, it always is safe and good if you have a good friend, an educated friend, he will talk for you.
Hmm. I'll be there.
And I didn't have a thing. I was only asked how to make the laws and everything. Shorty Daywalt, you know that Shorty Daywalt.
Yeah.
He and I took our citizen paper out the same thing. And his dad never was a citizen either. He couldn't write and he couldn't read and he couldn't talk English. He was telling once Nellis Oliver that they was gonna start trashing on Wednesday. And then the kids said they wanna go and tell him. Oh, he says he can't tell him.
No, go ahead.
And then he went and he told Nellis Oliver, Midway. Midway they're gonna start trashing. See, it was Wednesday, then he called it Midway. And he couldn't understand what anyone around us, the kids. I said, Wednesday, he never said anything. Pete Daywalt, the father of Benny and Philip Daywalt, he was the kid.
That's really amazing.
They couldn't talk, but say Pete Daywalt and my dad would have been the same thing. A bunch of kids they have behind to work. See, and Pete Daywalt had smaller boys, and my dad had bigger boys. And whenever they worked, they were loved and liked. My brother John, he worked for George Reeland, and oh, did he talk for him. Was he a good-hearted man? He had a foreman, and his a farm. George Friedland was a banker, but from the future he was German too. See, he was smart as a whip. And then he had several hired men, and then John was running the whole farm. And he reported to Reland.
So then when do you think all the Whelans then, John and Andrew and all of those, they were became American citizens because they could talk English?
It's Gustav and Emil, they all took the citizenship. And the girls, when they got married to a citizen, they were citizens, of course, they didn't get married. And the two youngest girls, they were natural born citizens.
Emily wasn't though natural born.
Emma and Mary, they were natural born citizens.
Yeah, Emily had to get her citizenship then too.
I don't know if she got it. She got it through the marriage. And I think Bertha got hers. When she got married, she became a citizen. When my brother John took his citizen paper out, and then the man that gave it to him, he says, "You made your wife a rush." See, he took the citizenship away from his wife and he got married. And then when he got a citizen paper again, and then she became a citizen through his paper.
Oh. Well, now, Lisa, she was German-Russian, eh? Everybody was German-Russian.
Yeah, she was born in here, though.
Yeah, yeah. But her parents were German-Russian, I mean.
Yeah, that law changed a lot. There is hardly anybody that's looking for a citizen paper.